If you would please introduce yourself and your topic. Thank you.
My name is Tal. I'm a Al-Anonic, and I'd like to talk about my higher power experience and its growth. Over my time in BBA, my first meeting in BBA was October 30th, 2020. I didn't know a thing about it. I didn't know a thing about the big book. The only thing I ever read was cover page. Said Alcoholics Anonymous. And my wife had a copy. It was her copy. And I never paid much attention because I was too focused on rescuing my wife, my partner, woman I love most in the world, and shortly thereafter, rescuing my son. That's where my attention lies. But I went through Al-Anon and I went through all the motions of Al-Anon for 20 years before I was introduced to BBA. So I didn't know what I was in for. Something I forgot to do right off the top. I badly sprained my ankle yesterday. So if I wince or cry out, it's not because of anybody here, because it really fucking hurts. Pardon my French. But I did want to start with a prayer. This is a personal prayer that I say every morning before my feet hit the floor. My Creator, let me see your way today. Guide me with your light. Take away my foolish thoughts and help me do what's right. Then my feet hit the floor. So, no clue what BBA was, but you were so friendly. You were so welcoming to me. And it just so happened that I joined my first meeting about a week before a workshop started. So I was able to get into that workshop right away. Didn't know what to expect. Got the big book, got the manual, got everything, and began my trek, I guess, in my enlarging my spiritual life, I can borrow from the Tuesday meeting. It was difficult. It was very hard for me. I had no belief system at that time of any depth. And as you all know, probably here, this workshop is what, 27, 28 weeks of deep, deep study of ourselves and of our connection to our fellows and of our relationship to a higher power. However, we determine how that higher power is. So I, like a lot of us here today, I got into step four. I read We Agnostics. I was the minister's son, a non-believer. But then when I had to look at myself and peel away all the layers, it was eye-opening for me. I came up with things I never knew I was carrying. And you all know what I'm talking about because if you've done it, you know what this is about. I completed that 27, 28 weeks, and I gained some traction. When I think of nine, I went out for my amends and I left the cocoon of BBA, all my friends, my family. And there I was out there alone. I walked off the stage to talk to people who didn't like me very much and make amends to them. But I know now that God made me do that. If I had not done that, I would not have grown in my spirituality and I would not have earned a place in this program. And that was the first time. I did that workshop twice. I assisted in that workshop a couple of times. I co-hosted a BBA workshop with my sponsor. I went to the Stones workshop twice. I went to Herb Kay's workshop twice. I spent a year in Alan Berger's workshop, The 12 Steps and Emotional Sobriety. So I was a student. I was a studier. I never gave it up because I never thought I had it. That self-defeating belief I carried with me, you know, and I finally realized I don't want to be defined by my memories. My memories are behind me. I Eckhart Tolle, Rami Shapiro, I'm reading all those books. And all I did for those 4 years, almost 4 years, is study and learn to pray and learn from my sponsor and grow slowly with no white light experience for me. And I never thought I was good enough. When my first workshop came up to Fear Grid, someone I talked to in the meeting, and I won't identify them, but I did three fear grids, three horizontal fear grids. And I said to this person, "Am I doing this right?" And they said to me, "That's perfect. You don't need to do any more than that." I'm not sure where that came from. I didn't know anybody very well at that time. But when I ended up with about two sheets of fear grids, the step guide I was working with said, "That's not enough." So I thought, "I'll show him." So I just worked on fear grid day after day after day. And I had 4 feet by 3 feet of fear grids. And I put them on the floor and I took a picture of them and I sent them to my step guide. And it was like a C. How about that? But my experience was the deeper I got into the fear grids, they became very difficult for me to write because they were so personal. I'd lose my partner. My partner would die. You know, I would die. Of course, that's how they all end at that particular juncture. But my son was in there, my partner was in there, my daughter was in there. All of you were in there. But that probably was the first door that opened for me once I saw myself. So since then, my concentration has been on my spiritual growth. I never heard of spiritual malady until I came to BBA. I had to look it up. I didn't know what malady meant. And when I read it, I said, "Okay, well, that's me for sure." But it took for me a lot of digging, a lot of work, as it probably has been for you as well. And I had been a meditator for a lot of my life, but it was TM, it was transcendental meditation, 20 minutes a day, twice a day. And I did it, and it was great. But I didn't understand meditation. I just didn't. And because it's such a big part of my BBA experience, Herb Kay said to me one time in his workshop, I was talking to him after the workshop, and I told him that I'm a meditator. And he said, "Well, what does that mean?" And I said, "Well, I get quiet for a length of time. And then I come out of the end of it and I feel better, maybe." And he said, "How about doing 90 and 90?" And I did. And that was probably 140 days ago. And I'm still not missing a day. And I guess the point that I'm making is that for me, a slow grower, there's still hope for people like me. Because I have such an understanding now, me personally, an understanding of what my higher power is and how I connect with that and what I learn from that and how I pass that on. If I, and I'm still an Al-Anon, by the way, and I don't want to, I'm not an Al-Anon basher. I love Al-Anon. It wasn't them, it was me. My last 4 years in Al-Anon alongside of BBA has been the best marriage of my growth that I can imagine. And in my Al-Anon meeting, we just went to a global electronic meeting and we had our first global meeting. We average about 35 or 40 people in my home group. The first global electronic meeting, we had 50, and they came from everywhere. And it was after that meeting, I just went, wow. What a feeling. What a love. What an acceptance I have of my connection, not with my self-will and not with my ego, but with something greater than me, which I fought for all those years. I don't know where we are on time. I had a revelation as recently as a week ago that even took me to another level in my way of thinking. And I went to a centering prayer meditation meeting. And a couple of you guys I spoke to about that. And I was curious about the centering prayer aspect of meditation. I didn't know what it was. And I looked up before this meeting, Thomas Keating started the centering prayer with, I think, someone else in his fellowship. So here's what Thomas Keating said about centering prayer. Centering prayer is wordless prayer. I'd like to remind people that centering prayer is not just a meditation practice, because it deepens our relationship with God. Eckhart Tolle will tell us that you don't even have to close your eyes to meditate. Eckhart Tolle tells us that I meditate with my eyes open until they close naturally. There is no wrong way to do it. And I've been to meetings where they're telling me how to do it, and then you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And I guess maybe I fought back on that a little bit because I didn't want people telling me how to do my meditation. I have a lot of miles on that. Now, of course, I wasn't doing it properly. I see now in the beginning, but now it is my conduit to my higher power. And more than that, it's a conduit to the way I'm living my life these days. And all those years, I've been in two-way prayer for 3 years. All those years, it was getting over myself, getting over not accepting myself, getting over the fact that it's an arrogance to God to say I'm not good enough because I'm one of God's children. God is in me. My God is not in the sky. My God is in my heart. And when I began to realize that, and I went to meetings where they're talking about duality and non-duality, all these things I never heard of before. But I studied that. And I read so much about it. And instead of being scattered in my appreciation of what my conscious contact means to me, it's more concentrated now. And because it's concentrated, I begun to understand it better. And I can't do it wrong. You know, I can't, all I have to do, I can't ignore it. All I have to do is see it. And when I see it, I can feel it. And I hear the responses I get in a daily basis, not always a daily basis, but you know, my ankle is sprained, so I'm dealing with pain. I'll take that to God, and I have to help me heal. And what it's been for me is my whole life has been a process of healing. I started Al-Anon, BBA, things I never knew about myself. I'd like to end this. I don't know where we are, but I wrote something here. I went to the centering prayer just a week ago.
You have 7 minutes.
Okay, thank you. So I'll talk a little bit about that. There's a centering prayer that's on every second Wednesday of the month that I've been to twice. And I went to the first one and I listened to these two gentlemen talk about it. And I didn't see a big difference in what I do in meditation to what they do in centering prayer. And in that specific meeting, they do 20 minutes of meditation, centering prayer. And I did it the first time with them the way I always did it. And my second meeting, which was 2 weeks ago, we started the meditation. And I could hear my heartbeat. It was very, very present to me. And not, not being critical of this, but because of that meditation, centering prayer time, I left the meditation. I started to write. I was writing what I was feeling in that centering prayer. And I'd like to read that, if I may. I shared this in a two-way prayer meeting. Some of you have heard it. Just, I think, 2 weeks ago. This happened about 2 weeks ago for me. My Creator, when I hear my heartbeat, I know it is not me I hear. It is you. When my lungs expand with life and deflate for renewal, it is not me who creates this gift. It is you. I am grateful for the millions of cells and atoms and all of your creation that keeps me alive without my intervention. This is how I know you. The hand of life I cannot see, but with the gift to let me live in its outcome. Is it the simplicity that I make complicated? It appears so. When what keeps me alive is your simple blessing, I need not struggle for an answer, a quest I will never complete. the vastness of you, where all answers reside. Give me a challenge I need not learn, and that's okay. To live in your grace and carry the message is all I need to know. I'll say amen to that, because that's in a paragraph that puts me where I am today. That's all I need to know. How simple it is. How difficult I made it. How I fought it. Learned it. And finally accepted it. My two-way prayer experience has been for about 3 years now. We have a lovely group. We meet in the morning, 5 days a week. A couple of you are here in this meeting. And I've said this before, and I apologize if you've heard it before, but the first 2 years were prayers I don't want to read again because they were so self-defeating. And when Pat T talked a couple of weeks ago about self-defeating beliefs, I know that program very well. And Pat T did a meeting on it. And he nailed it. But he nailed it. He used God as a self-defeating belief between him and God. Not with ourselves, but with God. And somebody asked him after he shared, well, does it have to be a self-defeating belief related to God? And he said, no, it can be, I'm not good enough. It can be, how will I ever survive this? How will I grow in this? But God was his destiny. And when I say God today, I've got a little bit of lingering on how I used to feel about that word. But when I say creator and I say universe, that's pretty personal to me now. And I'm at a plateau that I can only grow from. But I can enjoy where I am. I can pass on what I've learned. And I can live in the grace of God. So thank you all for listening. I know most of you by heart, from my heart to you. And I think that's all I've got this morning. Thank you, I'm Tal.